This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. Would you live life differently if you didn't fear death? None of us know when it'll be our time and carry the burden of the fear of dying without realizing that there's a way to lift that burden and free yourself to live life more fully today. Get ready to be empowered. Our guest today has more than 40 years of experience in the human services field, with a PhD in family relations and human development, and extensive shamanic training. She's a fierce advocate for peace and freedom for all beings, passionate about teaching us to recognize our place in the world. Please welcome my teacher and mentor, Alison Normore. Hi, Alison. Thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Today, we're talking about a subject that most people are uncomfortable thinking about. But keep listening, because we hope to dispel the fear and bring peace and empowerment to you instead. And if you haven't heard about dying consciously, you're in for a treat. Alison, most people I know think about death as a morbid subject. They fear it and they focus instead on avoiding death at all costs. And thankfully, my training with you has taught me that we're doing a disservice to ourselves by taking this approach. What can you share about that?
Yeah, well, you are so right. I mean, our culture today has a great fear and is in a denial about the end of life. And you know, we have a medical system and the technology and the knowledge now to be able to extend life, you know, way beyond what we used to be able to do. So we've got this medicalization, if that's a word, of death and the institutionalizing of it. I mean, if you think back, it's not that long ago that when people died, we cared for them at home, got the body ready. And it was very much a family and a community process, end of life. Whereas now we shuffle our elders, you know, off into homes. And, you know, we just have disconnected. We've become very disconnected from our elders and those who are dying. And we've given over care into these institutions. And so all of that feeds into the, you know, the discomfort. I mean it's a reflection of the discomfort that we feel. And yet it's such a precious time. And people who work in hospice and work with those who are dying, I mean, without exception, will talk about how precious and how spiritual and how fulfilling and satisfying that work is. So, you know, there's a lot to remember and to reclaim. And my experience has been, through having a chronic health condition since I was a child, and through my own shamanic training and spiritual awakening, of realizing that we're more than a physical body. I mean, I know that now through those experiences of, you know, near death for myself. And there are many, many people. I mean, Raymond Moody, many years ago, you know, brought this to the public attention with his case studies on near-death experiences. And you don't have to go very far to find these stories. Many, you know, people, credible people have written their own accounts now and are teaching us, reminding us that there is more to life than, you know, after death. Life does continue. So that, yes, there's, you know, when we're in denial and we're pushing that away and trying to disconnect from the fact that we're each going to die. Life and death are just two sides of the same coin, right? Mm-hmm. That we do. I think there's a whole lot we're denying ourselves.
Yeah. It's something that we don't want to talk about, and likely because we haven't had that support of the community like we used to when it was out in the open and it was just something else to deal with. And putting the onus on the medical system and giving them the power to say what happens in situations of the end of life, it just kind of robs us, doesn't it, of our own power.
Yes, I think it does. And you know, again, I mean, it isn't simple. It's a confluence of a lot of different factors, you know, how we've ended up here. But once we realize that we've given away our power, then we can take the steps, you know, to claim it back, to claim it back. I think, again, it's just part of our process and our learning and the way that, you know, our science and technology has brought us to these thresholds now of, you know, deciding, making different choices about how we approach death and our own death, of course, but also, you know, the death of our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. And so for those of us listening that we're fine, we're perfectly healthy, is this something that is to be thought about at this time of our life? Or are we, you know, it seems like we wait until we're given a diagnosis before we actually start doing anything about it. What's the benefit of thinking about it now?
Oh, I think there's so much. Again, you know, I was one of those who was naturally drawn to explore the spiritual realms and to discover for myself the reality of, or that something that survives death. And I think, you know, there are many, as you say, who are forced into that kind of realization or having to deal with the reality that, you know, our physical beings are mortal, you know, they don't last forever. And on the other hand, you know, if we don't get those wake up calls, then we can spend our lives as, you know, running from death, you know, not trying to avoid dealing with it. And that can show up in many ways. It can show up as, you know, the ways we distract ourselves, you know, from slowing down and thinking about those more spiritual and meaningful topics like death. And it can also show up in more harmful ways as addictions, and fear, right? You think about the effect that fear has on our bodies and our minds and our emotions. I mean, the energy that takes. So anything that we're doing to avoid dealing with the fact that we will die is taking our precious life energy. You know, it's using it up. And so dealing with and facing the fact that we will die, even if it's, you know, we don't plan to and we don't want to die, we're not ready to die yet for a long time, but acknowledging that is a fact of life, that we will come to the end at some point. And to prepare for that actually can free up so much energy that otherwise we're spending on other things that, you know, are not as meaningful. So becoming and preparing for your own death is one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself. And it's, as you say, some people think, oh, that's morbid. But actually, you know, it's actually a very good use of energy and time, right? Mm-hmm. To deal with what is. It's a, you know, it's a fact. We can deny it all we like. But as far as I know, nobody's avoided death yet, you know, no matter how spiritually evolved they were, right?
Yeah. So you talk about preparing. How would we prepare?
Oh, well, the ancestors and the ancient ones, you know, they think of the highly evolved spiritual traditions, the Tibetans and the ancient Egyptians, you know, who wrote the Book of Living and Dying. I mean, they left very good descriptions and maps of the other realms, you know, and how to navigate them. And preparing for it, you know, can be as simple at first as acknowledging, you know, that you are going to die. And many people, I'm sure you know some too, have made preparations like, you know, the concrete physical things that you can do, have your will prepared, have a living will for what happens if, you know, you are hospitalized or put in the hospital and, you know, you can't speak for yourself, like making sure there's someone who can advocate for you. Planning your own funeral, you know, buying, you know, deciding, talking with family and friends about, you know, what you would like to have happen. I have a friend who was actually a student of mine, and she'd been taking a lot of courses with me and things, and then she unexpectedly one day got a diagnosis of terminal cancer and was, you know, told she didn't have a whole lot of time left. Well, one of the first things she did after she called her daughter was to call me and say, I need to come talk to you. And she was aware that I, you know, was trained in the dying work and dying consciously. And she's asked me to take her and her daughter through that whole training. And we did that. I mean, as she was, progressively getting weaker and weaker, and she would be propped up on cushions when I'd arrive at her house for for our next class, and she just went right through all of them, and through all that process she, you know, began to give her daughter instructions, you know, very specific instructions about how she wanted her death to be handled. And she planned the most magnificent and beautiful service and, you know, events at her home. And she, you know, was laid, people came to her home, all kinds of beautiful and very detailed. So, you know, that kind of thing really helps us prepare. But perhaps the most important preparation that we can make is the taking care of the emotional, the psychological kind of an energetic healing that is needed. So one thing we know, and that the ancient teachers have told us, is, you know, we want to leave this life as light as possible. At you know, it's a lot to carry things across the realm and can stop us from being able to pass peacefully. We want to pass peacefully and light, you know, not carrying burdens and unresolved business from this life. So the work then becomes reviewing your life, looking back over and, you know, seeing the places in your life where you may not have come to closure with events, with people in your life, and to begin the work of tying up those loose ends. And the saying goodbye to people, thank you to people, saying, you know, the I love yous or I forgive you. And of course, forgiving ourselves, saying that to ourselves as well. You know, looking at the regrets, you know, is there anything there that needs attention and needs some more reflection? And so if you have somebody, a loved one who's passing, you know, helping them go through their life and sort through and tie up all the loose ends and do that emotional work actually clears so much heavy energy. You know, that's the burdens, right, that we are all carrying around to some extent or another, that can actually prevent you from leaving as peacefully, right? We all know those stories and those situations of the lingering death, or of the person who, you know, hung on, sometimes for days, weeks, months, until a certain person showed up at their bedside. And then that happened to my grandmother, right, with my uncle. She was lingering, and then, you know, my uncle came, and he was one who she, you know, had some unresolved business with. They'd had words, and she needed to feel at peace. And the next morning, she passed after his visit. And we all know those stories, right? So being able to leave. So, and we don't know when our death is going to be. We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, right? As we cross the street or something. Who knows? I mean, we all know stories of people. It's like, oh my goodness, like he was so young, or she was, you know, she seemed like everything else. She seemed so healthy and well. Like, how could that have happened? So because death, you know, can come in the night, right, and steal us away when we're not ready, then it pays. There's a great benefit to living our lives, as this is where the conscious part comes in, as conscious as possible about the unresolved business that we have with people, you know, and places and situations throughout our lives. Yeah. So that's the benefit, right? We can leave freer and with more peace in our heart. Makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You know, it takes a lot of courage if you've spent your entire life, or even, you know, a short while with things that you might regret. It takes a lot of courage to actually face them. Do we have to do this ourselves?
Well, ultimately, we come into this world alone, and we will leave alone, right? So yes, the ultimate responsibility for doing, you know, our work is our own and not anyone else's, but there's always support. And there are, you know, our friends, our loved ones, and, you know, lots of other people, helpers, healers, counselors, right, who can help us address those issues if we, you know, we need the support. But I think, first of all, it's, you know, deciding, right, making the decision that you'd like to live more consciously and to become more present to what's true for you and real in your life and what's most meaningful, because ultimately death is the ultimate loss, right? I mean, we've all had experiences of loss. You know, we've lost loved ones, we've lost pets, you know, we've maybe lost jobs, you know, we've lost relationships, friendships, you know, things. But death is the final, it's the ultimate loss of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's a big thing, and it's going to come to all of us. But the, you know, the wisdom is that the best gift that you can give yourself is a good death.
Never heard of that saying before. So when we die and the lights go out, is that it?
Well, I don't think it is. And, you know, the ancients and the ancient teachers say that's not it. You know, we are, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, there's much evidence now, more and more mounting evidence, you know, that can be documented as, you know, science, and that there is, of course, there is more after death, that ultimately we are a spiritual being having a human experience. And mm-hmm. so the the evidence that comes from, you know, the thousands and thousands of near-death experiences where people, you know, come to the end, their heart stops and all, you know, function. It's like, it seems the lights are out. And then they have this experience, right, of that, of this moving into. And there's so, the evidence and the stories show that there are more commonalities and there are differences in people's experiences across culture, across time, across history. You know, that point the way to there is something more after death, and that it's quite beautiful. You know, it's quite beautiful. So this is another benefit of doing the work of beginning to think about and to contemplate, you know, your death. And because if you're curious and you want to explore, there's so much out there, right, to affirm that there is just beauty, you know, that we are actually infinite beings, that we are a great, you know, fields of light of consciousness, and that that consciousness survives death and just moves on. It's just a portal, right? We come into this world, into physical form, and this is just another doorway at the end of that life into back to spirit. So, yeah, I mean, my own experience has been, you know, I've had diabetes since I was 9, and I've had multiple what I would call near-death experiences where low blood sugar, and I went into some coma, and I've, you know, known that there's something else happening. Like I've had what I call intervention or angelic help, right, of beings that have called me back, and I've had, you know, sleep time. I'm a dreamer, and I've had many experiences in the dream time of traveling out of body and to other realms and dimensions. And so I, you know, that taught me without a shadow of a doubt from myself that that there is something more, that I am more than a physical body, and that that other part of me that, you know, that's invisible, but knowing and conscious, you know, can travels out of this body. We all do that at night when we sleep, right? We leave. There's always a connection, a silver cord that connects us to our physical body. And that cord, you know, is only broken at death. So that part of us continues to have experiences and to, you know, make that on that other side, continues to make decisions about where we want to go next, what we want to do. You know, we are sovereign, free, limitless beings, and we choose to come into physical form. And lots of evidence for anyone who's ready to explore, you know, those realms and that, mm-hmm. and that reality, that truth for themselves.
Yeah, my work that I've done with you from your teachings has really taught me that death isn't anything to be feared. It's really, I really feel that I'm actually a little bit excited and curious about where I will go to when the time comes. And so it was very freeing to have that change of thought and to free myself from the fear of it, and it, just take each day and live each day as well as I possibly can, so that my quality of life, rather than being eaten up with the fear, is really enriched, and I'm empowered with the idea that it's up to me what I do with my life. It's my choice what I do in my life, and it's also, and from some aspect, my choice when I go. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, that is the ancient teaching, that when you do your spiritual work and awaken spiritually to the fact that you are more than a physical body, and that you just, you know, go back to that spiritual realm at the end of this life, that, yeah, that just frees you up to be here and to make the most and the best of this precious opportunity we have. I believe we choose to keep coming back because this is like such a realm of possibility and beauty and potential. Like, we just can't wait to get back here, right? It's like, okay, how soon can I turn this around? You know, process that life. There's a book that I read, Channelings from Emmanuel, that describe, you know, at the end of life, you know, what happens, this teacher asks at the end of life. And you know, it's the people that meet you on the other side, because you will have agreements with those, you know, either ancestors or beloved soul mates who have agreed and will meet you and greet you and welcome you back, you know, once you get to the other side. And they'll say, so, you know, what was that, you know, life like? You know, what was that experience like? And that, you know, your soul will just say, wow, like, it was just like a dream. It passed in a flash. And here I am back again, you know, because it's into that realm of timelessness, of infinity, right, that we move and our spirit moves. And that this life just seems like a brief dream. And so hence comes that teaching that really this physical realm is more of an illusion, like that the reality is the spiritual realm, because it's timeless and infinite. And on that, in that realm, we experience ourselves as a soul on a journey, on a beautiful journey, and having adventures, right? Just like you said. And so when we can have that awareness and bring that, even that possibility, into our human minds, into this reality, you know, it does. It changes everything. It can free us up and keep us from responding to, you know, the fear that gets activated, the fear of, you know, what will people think, or, you know, can I really do that? Maybe I can't, you know, questioning our own abilities and believing in our limitations, as opposed to just, you know, letting all that go and just saying, okay, if I could do anything, what would it be? You know, what would bring me the most joy? What would bring me the most satisfaction and fulfillment? Imagine. I think that's the spiritual awakening that, and the potential that, and the opportunity that we're living in right now is of that kind of awakening to a higher purpose, mm-hmm. and to a much wider, expansive view of who we are and what we're doing here.
That's so inspirational. And that's exactly what I wanted to convey in our conversation, because it is actually such a beautiful experience of life, and death is just as beautiful. And so I really think that if we get over that idea of avoiding the conversation and actually just get into some of the work, as you said, of preparing, it really is liberating. And, you know, as you mentioned, if we feel that we can't manage some of these things ourselves, there are people like you and people like me that can help you get to some kind of realization or understanding of what's going on for yourself in your mind and in your heart. And, you know, if anybody needs to reach out, they can reach you at your website, can't they, at alisonnormore.com?
Yes, for sure. Yes. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also have a Facebook page. People can message me from there, Alison Normore, PhD, on Facebook, or through Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find. Just have to put my name in.
Beautiful. Yeah. Alison, I'm so grateful for your wisdom, and I'm so glad that we had this conversation. Thanks so much for sharing.
You are so welcome. It's always a pleasure for me to share these ideas and to, you know, plant these seeds, right? And we aren't, you know, sometimes we aren't ready. I know I was there. I spent many years, you know, in academia, and it was the persistent calling of my soul that eventually, you know, woke me up into in my dream time, my experiences there, that there was something bigger going on, something greater, which brought me to shamanism and you know, the study of indigenous wisdom traditions and the ancient teachings. So, you know, but it doesn't, you know, it can come in any way. And I think that, you know, right now at this time on the earth, you know, 2020, which is a year none of us will forget, it's also an opportunity and a wake-up call to notice how we're responding, how much fear there is afoot, and the power of this situation that we have on the earth right now is that wake-up call. You know, if it certainly is triggering, if we never thought of fear of death that much, and didn't think, you know, it was something we needed to, as you said at the beginning, because, you know, I'm pretty healthy. I got many years left yet. I don't even have to worry about it. That this year has woken us up to that fact, right? If there's mm-hmm. a purpose, and there's always a purpose in everything that happens, and a gift. And the gift of this is waking us up to how does death live within each of us? How does death live within you? How does death live within me? And because if we're not comfortable with death, and if we have been in denial and avoiding dealing with our own death, then we are being triggered massively right now, triggered massively. So so this is an opportunity, right? Again, it's another opening to say, well, you know, what's really going on, and what's here for me to look at so that I can live more fully rather than being gripped by fear. And, you know, being, you know, shutting myself away from, you know, everything that matters and from the external world, staying in my home, hiding, you know, what is it I'm hiding from? You know, what has come to find me? My teacher, Alberto, says, you know, we're being stalked by death. And so, you know, rather than, you know, living in fear, how can I avoid, you know, where do I run and hide? How can I turn and face that which is stalking me, right? And if you've done dream work, you know that the nightmares, right, of the dream, the nightmares are the ones that really wake us up, right, where our heart's pounding, we're sweating. It's like, okay, right, there's something here and there's a gift. Right. And as somebody who does also teaches dream work and how we work with our dreams and understand the messages that are coming through, I've learned, you know, to pay attention to those, because they're just wake up calls from our soul that are telling us there's something we need to pay attention to. And it's really hard to ignore those, right? Particularly they'll recur, they'll keep coming back, right? Until we're ready to face them. And so, yeah, so facing down that which, you know, we are most afraid of, because there's something, there's a gift there. If you do that work, you know, with whatever that is that's stalking you in your dream or in your waking life, then, you know, there's so much peace and there's so many rewards for doing that deeper work to say, what's really going on here? Maybe it's, you know, it's time to leave that relationship, right? Maybe that relationship has outlived its usefulness. Maybe that job is now, you know, just become a drain. It's taking more energy for you to do that particular job, that there's no joy or passion or whatever was there for you. It's not enough anymore. And it's time to leave, right? So whatever it is, right? Death, this is how death, can stalk us and steal our energy if we allow it, or we can, you know, face that whatever it is that needs to die, right, in our waking life, so that, you know, we can be born anew. You know, this is the opportunity, right, is to be born anew. In the shamanic tradition, that would be the work of the West. And for me, in my teaching, you know, it's held by the great jaguar, who's the great hunter, right? Has no need for enemies, and teaches us how to be courageous and how to be fearless, and to go into those dark places, into those shadow places that we haven't dared go before, right? Because we were afraid of what we might have to face, or what we might have to decide, or what we have to let go of, so that we can be reborn.
Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And I would like to be able to chat more about some of these ideas at some other time. So thank you so much for your time here today.
You're so welcome, Deborah. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you've heard and want to hear more, please subscribe, leave a comment and a rating, and I promise to send good vibes your way. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.